Yeah, he's fine.
Okay, sorry.
Good, he's doing good.
Entertained a motion to come back from, to regular session from executive session?
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mrs. Dever, to come back to the regular session from executive session. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We're now back in regular session. Mr. Moore, any possible action?
No, we were just given reports on two matters.
Okay. We will now move into our 1:30 public hearings.
What'd you do?
Grab it.
Lawrence, is that?
Mr. President, while he's coming up, this is the time the council holds public hearings on zoning applications. These are legislative hearings because council uses the information in order to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. Mr. Abbott will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or question. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, we do have a form that we're going to ask you to sign, and the sign, Robin, you will have the form, is that correct?
It's right up there on the podium.
There is a form at the podium that we'll ask you to sign at that time. When you speak, when you come forward, just sign and put your name and address. If you also give us the name and address for the record. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise and do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Abbott and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device, please take time now to turn it off or turn it to silent service. At the conclusion of each hearing, the council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing today is a conditional use filed on behalf of Judith Falmsby. Mr. Abbott?
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district by amending conditions number 2 and number 3 of ordinance 2055, which was conditional use 1765, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 38,054 square feet, more or less, lying southwest of Road 226, 0.6 mile southeast of Route 16. The applicant submitted a site plan that was approved for conditional use 1765. I've passed that down to you. The commission heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We received one letter in opposition to this application. The applicant was present, gave a presentation. Mr. Lank advised the commission that condition of approval number 2 stated that the unit shall only be occupied by the applicants and their family members, and condition of approval number 3 stated that in the event the real estate is sold or transferred, the conditional use shall terminate. Mr. Lang had summarized the comments from the DENREC inspection report in reference to the septic system on the site. There was one person that spoke in support of this application. On January 26th, the commission deferred action so that they could review the record and listen to the tape of conditional use 1765. The commission reviewed this under old business on February 9th of this year. Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the commission recommend denial of CU 1912 for an amendment of conditions number 2 and 3 of ordinance 2055. Based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this is the site of 3 existing multifamily dwelling units that were approved as conditional use 1765 and ordinance number 2055. However, during the public hearing process, the applicant specifically represented and agreed that the units would be used solely by family members. Two, both the Planning and Zoning Commission and Sussex County Council stated in their findings that the approval was based upon the fact that the units would be used only by family members. The recommendation and the ordinance both contained specific conditions that limited the use to family members and included a requirement that the use would specifically expire if the property was sold or transferred. Mr. Burton did not believe that the prior conditional use and ordinance would have been approved without these findings and conditions. Three, Mr. Burton has not heard any compelling reason to overrule the concerns and conditions stated in conditional use 1765 for the property at this time. Four, he was not satisfied that the current septic system is adequately designed or constructed for 3 separate units. Five, the property is still in an area that consists of single-family residential homes or agricultural uses. There are no other multifamily dwellings or units in the vicinity, so the proposed occupancy by unrelated individuals in 3 apartment units would be inconsistent with the surrounding area. The last reason, they did not feel that the applicant has created sufficient record to support the approval of the requested amendments. There was a motion and a second. It carried unanimously to forward this application to the County Council with the recommendation that it be denied for the reasons stated. That motion carried 5-0. On February 6th, we received a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. The soils on the site are Falsington sandy loam and Woodstown sandy loam. With respect to erosion and sedimentation control, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after any construction. There is no storm flood hazard area affected. There's no tax ditch affected, and it would not be necessary for any off-site or on-site drainage improvements. And attached to that was a aerial photograph and a copy of the soils map. That's all we have, unless you have any questions.
So you're saying under what exists now, that if it's not occupied by family, then the use is the approval expires, and what? So they just can't rent it out to others.
When this was approved back in 2009, it was limited to the 3 family, mm-hmm. the family members only,
right.
And then the other condition was if it were ever sold,
mm-hmm.
the conditional use was terminated.
Okay, that was it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The applicant, back in October of last year, the applicant wrote a letter to the commission requesting that the conditions be amended, which mm-hmm. the commission could have since they originated at their public hearing. Mm-hmm. And the commission turned that down and made the applicant go back through the public hearing process.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, is the applicant here? Would you like to come forward and explain your application, please? And please give us your full name and address, and I see you're writing it on the list. Great.
Okay, my name is Judy Formsby. I live in 21138 Orchard Road. Okay, I guess I should start back in 2009. My husband, who was living at the time, Rick and I, understood from a neighbor that we were out of compliance because we had 3 kitchens in the house. So we went before planning and zoning. And they recommended these two conditions, you know, that it should be occupied by applicants and their families, and if it was sold or transferred, the conditional use shall terminate. Well, at that time, because we wanted the house, we had it set up as a multi-generational. Our family has lived in it, you know, except for a time when we had rented it. And we wanted it that way. His mother was there, our children were there, and that's why, that's what it's for. It's a generational house. And so we wanted to keep it that way for us at the time. Now, the house is, I am only in it along with my daughter, who would probably leave soon and get married. So I was looking for, I was questioning what some of these things mean to begin with. Like, okay, if I do sell it, because it is for sale now, it has three kitchens. So two of the kitchens, from my understanding, if the cooking appliances are removed, they're no longer kitchens. So that is my understanding according to planning and zoning. And what does conditional use terminate? What does that exactly mean? Because right now, my realtor is with me. And
over there, she moved.
Okay. And so we have some questions because we want it to be marketed correctly. And I feel like I've done, you know, I went according to this, you know, making sure that we were in compliance in what I thought was the right way that I should have done, and living in my house the way it should have been.
So these other two units have separate access from the outside, so they can,
yes,
they don't have to go through a central.
They all have their separate access. Mm-hmm. It was a Nanticoke home, and it had a garage. Mm-hmm. And then when Rick's mom needed to be there, because we didn't want to run over to Maryland all the time for her, we had a nanny flat, you know, and it was approved by planning and zoning, and that was on the other side. Then we had three-car garage built, and it was a three-car garage. My daughter moved back with her son, and so the Nanticoke part became hers, and we changed the garage into living quarters. And there's a separate garage out back. And all the homes, all the sections can be accessed inside as well. The doors can all be left open, so it can be, you know, like it was a single family with different sections within.
Okay, one of the issues would probably be the septic system. Now, when it was originally approved in 2009, mm-hmm. Were you required to get any kind of approval or certification that the current system was adequate for everything that was on site? Or did you just go on and never pursue, say, a DNREC?
Whatever planning and zoning requested that we do, we did.
Right. Is there any record of that?
Yes, I have the copy of the inspection report, mm-hmm. certification of completion, and it was for a 1,000-gallon tank.
In 2009?
Yes, it didn't make any reference to the number of units. Most of the septic.
But basically that was done at that time, so that means what you're saying is implying that means that the 1,000-gallon tank or whatever was adequate for what was on site.
They're saying it was.
Okay, okay. So then that shouldn't be an issue then, even today, right?
I didn't think so.
So your original intent was, I guess, with the family thing, and I'm, you know, original intent can always change, I guess, as the years go by with things. Mm-hmm.
And see, because I am a widow, it was very, very difficult for me to figure out. It's too much for me, you know, to take care of. And I thought, well, you know, let's see what my options could be, since it is for sale, whether or not it could be, you know, them live there, next people live there, or if they wanted to rent it out as a single family, because we have single family homes rented out on our road.
Well, in Sussex County, enforcement's awfully difficult. And recently when we see things like this, we've been trying to get out of the enforcement part of these approvals. So I can't imagine that there, you know, if it's a family member or somebody, I mean, we could have had somebody go out there and say, we think somebody's not a family member. You know, what do you what do you do? So I would say that recently we've looked at things a little differently here and tried to back away from petty little enforcements like this. Is it a if it's a suitable for somebody to live there, I guess it's suitable whether it's family member or not, is what, because we don't want to waste our staff time. So I think originally we've changed too here at the council, so I don't see a real issue with making it dissolve after, because it's not a family member. I don't know how critical that is. I don't know about the rest of them, but we have recently looked at that enforcement issue, and it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Because my comment would have been, you know, if this is considered a family home, I know there are other family homes that are rented out, and I also know that there are some family homes that have more than one family in them. We all know that they're there because the economy is so bad that people are taking other people in, be it a bedroom or part of the house or the garage or whatever. And I guess my concern too is, what exactly does conditional use terminate mean?
Terminate?
That means it would go back to a single family residence if it terminates. Only one family would be able to be there. And what you're requesting today is that those two conditions be removed, because right now they're on there, so you're asking that they be removed, and so that if you sold it, it could be sold as a three-unit apartment. Correct, Mr. Abbott?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Should we, if there is any change in this, Everett, should there be references that they are one-bedroom units? I don't know if I'm looking at if these are the original conditions.
Okay, the...
Were those the original conditions in our thing here?
The original Nanticoke has three bedrooms in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm saying the original it talked about having three units there, three apartment units, but it doesn't specify any sizes, like,
well, the
apartment has such and such many bedrooms, one apartment
well,
has one bedroom.
Well, both apartments for both sections have a bedroom each, and the Nanticoke has three.
So there's so a total of five bedrooms?
Yes.
Okay, which doesn't seem inconsistent with just some, and it still has the appearance of a single-family home. If you ride by, you wouldn't know it to be
exactly
like an apartment house. Or
no,
something. It doesn't have that appearance. It has a residential appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, she's still. Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening.
No, so I just okay that.
And Mr. Abbott, the only reference, Mr. Abbott, is this on the third paragraph of page two concerning the conditions. It does not state the size of the units, does it?
The original conditions didn't state the size or number of rooms or anything.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It simply allowed three units.
But she was allowed to have the kitchens, right? And we inspected it, and it had the kitchens. Is that correct?
Any cooking facilities, a stove, a microwave, or a hot plate makes it another unit.
Right, but didn't we inspect it and that didn't, there was no note made of that? I mean,
I don't know of any
inspection.
Oh, okay. I guess.
But the fact that there were three made it to three units, the three kitchens.
Right. So you've basically got a piece of property that's got 2 one-bedroom units and then whatever is left, a three-bedroom unit.
Yes.
And I guess there was an investment made in these kitchens. So I guess, if I'm hearing it right, if we follow the ordinance that we approved in 2009, somebody would have to go in there and tear out those kitchens.
Right, and that's
which
what...
Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, that would be such an
economically.
Expense. Yes.
We also, remind the council, we have actually looked to that ordinance with garage apartments and stuff, mm-hmm. which is supposedly to reach out for people that have big homes or have homes, as a way to bring in some income, possibly help to, you know, keep their homes up and also provide housing for, you know, singles and different things. So, in a way, it's kind of similar. Somebody could have asked for this as a variance, right? Not as a conditional use. So, anyway, I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add at this time?
Betty? She's my
yes.
builder. She has.
If you would come up, please give us your name and address and sign in. And I've been asked to ask that you print your name. They're afraid your writing might be like mine.
I didn't print mine.
You can read Judy's name, but I will print mine.
Okay, thank you.
So are we saying that it can accommodate three families or not?
Right now, that's what it's approved for.
And there's no problem if three families live there right now.
As long as they're family members.
And they could be strangers, though. They're not doing anything more than the family would do, are they?
Your conditions limit it to family members. So
I know that.
The inspector would have to go verify that it's a family member.
Well, if you didn't make them family members, what's the difference?
A person's a person, you're trying to say.
Yeah, they use the same flushes.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Everett, does this read it has to be, it had to be her family members? It can't be, in other words, conditional uses run with the land. Mm-hmm. Could she market this house as a house with multiple units, but they'd all have to be related? So could a new family come in, or is it only specifically just for her and her family members?
You bring up a good point.
Because that seems awfully restrictive, and I don't know if we've ever really done that, or were we conscious that we did it when we did this?
Well, I think Mr. Abbott and I were discussing this, and it's been very limited the amount of times that this has been done. And the point you bring up is very good. However, the condition of approval number 3 says, in the event the real estate is sold or transferred, the conditional use terminates. So it could not be transferred to someone else and then their family use it. I mean, that took that away.
Yeah, that's what I think that I don't know why we did what we did when we did this. I was here, but I can't remember why I did what we did. But I think the applicant was basically saying we were comfortable with doing it that way. Fine, they were just trying to get approved and move on. And that seems a little harsh because every conditional use runs with the land. And then if another family wanted to do the same thing, what's the difference?
Right.
I don't get it. So anyway.
Okay. We have a witness. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Betty.
Questions out here.
I think so.
Okay. Well, yeah. What's the difference between a family living there and roommates?
Well, that's the question.
That's the ultimate question.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to.
I guess you can check the birth certificate, see if they are part of it.
You guys are all related anyway.
That's right. Yes.
Don't bring up that birther issue.
Yeah, really.
Good Lord.
If you want, go ahead now.
Okay, I am Betty Lewis Kaspersky. I live at 409 Robinson Street in Georgetown, and I work for Delmarva Real Estate here in Georgetown, and I am the listing realtor on Judy Falmsby's property. And when I inspected the property, obviously it does have three contiguous units, you know, that are the one bedroom, the in-law apartment, the one bedroom that Judy now occupies, and the original Nanticoke structure. And we did investigate the septic capacity, and that seemed acceptable. How do we market it, and what is the value, especially in our uncertain real estate market, you know? Yeah. The use that the family has used, as long as that could pass to the next person, even if it's rental or non-rental within that family structure. I was just a little surprised that the use would not pass with the property because, you know, that's the way it was approved through some letters and so forth a couple of years back. And we want to know the proper way to market this and that the value is there not only for Judy, but for the incoming person, that they would not run into a problem with this committee or another or a neighbor, whatever it might be, subsequent to a sale. So the concern is, does the value that we've placed on, as long as it can be continued to be used by a multi-generational or related or unrelated persons, all under the one supervising person in residence. I'm not looking to say that this should be a three family, and because I've had calls, oh, these are three rental units. No, these are not three rental units. This is not an income producing property. You can use it as your family's use, you know, but we're not promising anything more than that. As long as that can convey with the property, I think that does, you know, sustain what's already been approved in, you know, past motions here and past hearings. There was a letter that was mentioned that was in opposition to this approval of the continuation of what's on the books, but there was also the other neighbor who was in support. So I just wanted that to be noted. So just the concern from a business perspective and to make things right for years to come is that, to me, it should be passing the use, the current use that's been approved should pass with the property.
As a professional realtor,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Would you like to comment on, do you feel that the current use has it had any effect on property values for neighboring properties? Has there been any impact, would you say?
Negative impact or
positive
impact?
Positive or negative? I mean, or to
the
just,
whole market,
to,
unfortunately,
just say whatever okay. you, is, has okay. there been any impact from this use on this property to neighboring properties?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Now, the impact really is on the current owner and the future owner, I think.
All right. Okay.
All right. Any other questions of the council of this witness?
I have questions, but not of this witness.
Okay. Oh,
okay.
If not, is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Mr. President, at this time, do you have a question before we close the hearing?
My only concern would be that when DNREC did their investigation, it was a five-bedroom house, basically three bedrooms and then these two one-bedroom units. So they looked at it as, and that's how they count, you know, capacity for septic systems, is bedrooms. So there should be some wording in there if we change this and approve this, there ought to be some reference that this should remain not to exceed a total of five bedrooms, so that it is compatible with that DNREC report. So a new owner coming in and say, hey, man, I got three apartments that say four, you know, make two bedrooms or something like that. Mm-hmm. Would that be a reasonable?
That could be done in your approval, yes.
Well, we really don't have conditions on this if we are going to approve it because P&Z denied it. Is this the kind of thing we want to let our legal staff develop some
so we're all looking at the same page?
I think we need to find out some
things.
This
week.
And that makes sense with the five, mm-hmm. limited to the five.
Okay.
Rooms.
Yeah.
You want to make that motion then, Mr. Phillips, that
yeah.
we defer with we and defer could have staff put it
in? We need to close the okay. public hearing.
Yeah, we need to close the public hearing, and at this point, if it's the council's pleasure to close the public record as well.
So moved.
If there's no opposition, we'll close public record, close public yeah. hearing, and entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. We defer and, yes. and have staff put together some conditions based on what was discussed here today. For the positive, for the approval of a conditional use, referencing number of bedrooms and striking concerns about family related issues.
Right.
Is that covered, I guess?
Okay. We have a motion.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion passed, but deferred. Waiting on the legal counsel get back to us. Your stuff, we'll put it on the agenda for a old business.
Yes.
I think she's wondering what happened.
We're deferred.
Deferred. We'll come back. You'll come back.
We'll come back in a few weeks or so, and the council will then vote on it. Okay. The next hearing, Mr. Abbott.
This is an application of James Moses to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agricultural residential district and a C1 general commercial district to a CR1 commercial residential district to be located on a certain parcel of land, line, and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 2.1185 acres, more or less, lying south at the southwest corner of Route 54 and Road 396, which is referred to as West Line Road. The commission held their public hearings on this application on January the 26th. I'll pass down a copy of an exhibit booklet and a copy of the site plan.
Okay.
The commission received comments from DelDOT, the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning. The applicant was present and gave a presentation. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of change zone 1711 for James Moses for a change zone from AR1 agricultural residential and C1 general commercial to CR1 commercial residential based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this property has frontage on Route 54 and Road 396, and the first 200 feet from the intersection of those roads is currently zoned C1. This change in zone application would rezone the entire parcel to C1 so that it is all commercially zoned. Two, the rezoning is consistent with neighboring and adjacent properties and their uses, which include other commercial and business zoning and uses. It is basically an infill since it's surrounded on two sides by commercial zoning. Three, the application will not have a significant effect on traffic. Four, CR1 commercial residential zoning is appropriate since the county zoning code states that the purpose of such zoning is to provide for retail shopping and personnel and miscellaneous service activities, and that such uses should be located along arterial roadways where a general mixture of commercial and service activity now exists. In this case, the property has frontage on Route 54, and it is appropriate to extend the existing commercial zoning to the southwestern boundary of this property adjacent to other existing commercial zonings. Five, any commercial use of the property would be subject to site plan review by the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second, and it carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0, and we have not received any additional correspondence.
So the governing zoning would be CR1?
Yes. Part of it's zoned C1 right now.
But it wouldn't remain that way?
No.
CR1 would prevail?
Make it consistent under one zoning.
Exactly.
Yep.
So they're even rezoning the original C1
right
to CR1?
Yes.
To whatever.
Any further questions, Council? If not, if the applicant or his representative could come forward, please. Again, if you give us your full name and address, and print your name and address on the sheet too, please.
Thank you. My name is James Moses. I live at 12402 Day Girl Road in Bishopville, Maryland. And I'm the owner of the property along with my mother.
Are we hearing applications from people from Maryland nowadays?
I don't think so.
Didn't we cancel? Sam, are we still?
I heard one of the council people's from Maryland.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. It was just a conversation amongst us.
I'm not sure two of our terms, as far as that they are.
Maryland. Who would have want to live in Maryland?
My little brochure that I've handed out to you, ladies and gentlemen, is pretty self-explanatory, but basically the overview of it is that we're looking to be able to utilize the full parcel for commercial purposes on this property, and that we're a bit of a hardship with that regard because time has changed in that we need to have a lot of things to do a good job: stormwater management, proper parking, proper safe entrance. There's other things that need to be attended to, and the use of the entire parcel would enable us to do that. We've talked to DelDOT with that regard. We also have an issue with DelDOT about the corner where they've stepped across the corner there on us, and we're willing to resolve that with them with the proper site plan drawing and all that. The drawing that I have in there is an exhibit showing basically what we're interested in doing, subject to commercially being done professionally. I usually use French and Ryan up here to do my planning for the property when I get ready to get into it. And I went through with all the neighbors and kind of explained to them what I wanted to do, and had them give me support with that regard on the attached sheets there, and mailed to the ones that I couldn't, that were absentee property owners, this exact plan detailing what I'm intending to do, and heard back from a couple in the mail, which are attached to your plan there, and got one back in the mail that didn't have an address correct from the county. So with that regard, I'm respectfully requesting approval on the property.
Okay. Any questions from council?
Well, no. Look, it's no conditions. It's a rezoning, and that'll take care of the entrance, and the site plan goes to planning and zoning, so, I mean, yeah.
If there's no other questions from council, this witness, do you have any other witnesses here today?
No, sir.
Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here in favor? Is there anyone here today in opposition that would like to speak? Anyone here in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing. And if it's the council's pleasure, close public or the public record.
If there's no opposition, we'll close public record, close public hearing, and ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district and a C1 general commercial district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 2.1185 acres, more or less.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips, to adopt change of zone number 1711. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I vote yes, and I give my reasons would be exactly the same as planning and zoning. And he did go and ask all of his neighbors, and he's got all that documented. He's got a lot of support, so he did a good job.
Cole?
I'll vote yes because Mrs. Deaver told me to.
Thank you.
For the same reasons. They were good reasons.
It's taken 3 years for you to listen to me.
Mr. Phillips?
I vote yes. Actually, by taking the C1 to CR1, we're taking out the potential of some high-density residential development on that busy intersection. And it does seem, in essence, to be infill.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on recommendation of P&Z, and I was thinking the same thing. Charlotte stepped down.
I mean, it certainly does make sense. The CR1 allows some things there that will certainly be beneficial, but it takes some areas away from C1, which is a good thing. The neighbors apparently are in favor of this. Planning and zoning, I reckon I agree what their rationale was and their reasoning. Although, yes, motion carried.
Thank you for coming.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I was going to tell them we have some houses for sale over here.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson. Well, yes, motion carried. We're now adjourned. Do not forget, we do not meet next week.